And welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buer.
And I am GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns. And we welcome you guys back to this recruiting National Signing Day 2018/Class of 2019 edition. I've heard you in my Twitter mentions. I've heard you on Gopher Illustrated. And here we are, Luke. I know that we talked about it, and I decided I didn't want to really talk too much recruiting until things were kind of essentially here.
And I mean, you have a day job, so.
I do, and they pay the bills, and this right. podcast doesn't. So we wanted to make sure that Gopher Illustrated members, those of you who took advantage of that Cyber Monday deal, I know there was hundreds of you that did. I greatly appreciate it, and I hope you got your money's worth from everyday coaches on the day notes to nightly updates to everything in between. I know I'm very excited for National Signing Day to come and go, as I'd really like to get more sleep and see my better half again, especially as we are a week away from Christmas, Luke, and it's not like she lets me know that every single day.
Well, I think the real question that we need to probably go over, which I keep continually texting you, what's the current, you know, charge of your cell phone?
Well, my charge has actually been pretty good lately, but that's because my phone broke. My Pixel 2, and I think I was coaching basketball, and I came back after practice, and my phone looked like it had been stepped on, when I know damn well I hadn't been anywhere near it. So yeah. I don't know that Pixel 2 necessarily crapped out, but I think one of the players I was coaching stepped on my phone accidentally as it was on the floor in some bleachers, and so I had to go get a brand new one. And that was the most anxiety-filled 18 hours I've had in quite some time, being without a phone, because I counted, because my phone was technically still on, Luke.
Mm-hmm.
I missed 7 calls and 19 text messages that I can never get back. So feels bad.
Feels bad. Okay, so let's get into some recruiting. As many people are probably aware, early National Signing Day is Wednesday, the 19th of December. This opens the period that individuals that are looking to play and sign a scholarship with play football and sign a scholarship at a Division I. I think FBS does FCS have the same signing day?
Yeah, okay. FBS, FCS, D1, D2.
Oh, they're all the same. Okay, so I'm learning something new on that. But this opens the period that you can sign, and then does it close again?
Closes on Friday, but for Minnesota's purposes, I do expect everyone to sign tomorrow morning.
Okay, yeah. So this opens a window, and then there'll be what is normally been known as the traditional signing day. Like it's like the first Tuesday in February, something like that, right?
First Wednesday in February. So there will be another signing day. I think it's February the 3rd or something. And we'll get into that a little bit later, but mm-hmm. Minnesota could be potentially signing another one or two guys there.
Okay. Historically speaking, with PJ Fleck while here, he's signed the majority of his staff or the majority of his class this first date, which will not be new. So maybe we should try and run down who we expect them to sign on the 19th. We are recording this on the 18th, so as many are aware, recruiting is about as fluid a situation as it can come. Ryan can probably attest to that much better than anyone.
Just as coach.
Yeah. Right.
Just the scared. Things are fluid. I mean, as we even sit here on Tuesday night, by the time you're listening to this, it's Wednesday, potentially Wednesday. You're on your commute going to the signing day social or to Buffalo Wild Wings to meet up with Luke and I. Beforehand, have a couple of brewskis. I know I'm going to be letting loose a little bit. By the time you're listening to this, Minnesota's probably added a commit. I mean, I can't really talk about it too much, but
that's there possible.
So our point being, even as we record here, 11 hours until kids can put the pen to the paper, I mean, there's still even some things in flux. So it's like, bear with us as we try to get through this.
All right. So looking at this class, I think the thing I'm most nervous about is name pronunciations. This is always a big problem for me.
And Sid Hartman alike.
I don't follow recruiting super closely. I know it's your job. I know we talk about it from time to time on the podcast, but I do not pay attention terribly close. I have looked at these names, but I have never, ever tried to pronounce any of them outside of maybe one or two. So this is the, I apologize in advance if you are said recruit or said recruit's family. If I butcher your name, I'm so sorry. Ryan will correct me, and we will go forward, and it'll be okay. So I want to start defensively, mostly because I think this is the position group that probably stands out the most in terms of recruiting success. If you watch the rankings closely, they're top two commits currently that haven't signed yet are both defensive tackles. So we should get into that. Why don't we start there with Rashad? What is it, Chaney and Christian Williams?
Yeah, not every day that you get to see a Minnesota team finish as strongly as they have. And with for many years, it seemingly felt like under Jerry Kill and Tracy Clays, we'd get to the final couple of weeks before signing day. Minnesota had their list of top targets, say 5 to 7 guys. And maybe they'd hit on one of them, it felt like. And especially they had significant issues recruiting defensive linemen. Well, for as much as PJ Fleck attacked offensive line in the 2018 class, he did so on the flip side of things with the defensive line in the 2019 class. And that's where Rashad Chaney and Christian Williams both commits here in the last couple of weeks come into play. Now, Rashad Chaney's story, I mean, this is a kid that's been recruited for 3-4 years. Someone that at one point was committed to Alabama, at one point was committed to Georgia, and now his final destination, because third time's the charm, is going to be the University of Minnesota. Someone that at 6'2", 275 pounds, he's seen a lot of things in the recruiting process. So I believe the story goes, if I'm remembering everything here correctly, that he was committed to Georgia early on as a sophomore, went and said right off the bat when he committed to Georgia, he was still going to take other visits. I know how some of you feel about being quote-unquote committed somewhere but taking visits elsewhere. Well, welcome to the reality of recruiting in the year of our Lord 2018. So he eventually decommits. We come back together. He commits to Alabama. He is committed to Alabama all the way to Halloween of 2018, and then he reopens things. And the way the story I've heard it is he reaches out to Minnesota immediately. I believe that he was up here that next weekend on an unofficial visit himself, so he paid his own way to come up to the University of Minnesota. And from then on, Minnesota was in the driver's seat. They were able to get him on an official visit on the Twin Cities Takeover big official visit recruiting weekend on December the 8th, and they were able to get Mr. Chaney locked down for the third and final time as we sit here tonight. He is scheduled to sign tomorrow morning, and there's even a rumor that he might be an early enrollee. Now, that's still to be determined as of yet. I know that he's working as hard as he can to potentially be here in January, and that'd be a huge get, especially getting him in here in January. It allows him an extra 5 months before the other rest of the defensive tackles are able to get in, and that'd be a big deal. So he's a 4-star kid. He's the highest rated recruit in this class as of tonight via the 24/7 composite. I mean, this is a kid at one point, folks, as I mentioned, was committed to Alabama and Georgia. I mean, as recently as 6 weeks ago, he was committed to Alabama's defensive line. Now, whether I've heard things conflicting wise, whether it was Alabama told him to look around a little bit, he wasn't happy with the way that Alabama was treating him. Somewhere in between is probably the truth. But regardless, you just got a defensive tackle that was committed to Alabama and Georgia as recently as 6 weeks ago. And to me, that's a very big deal, especially as you look at Minnesota trying to rebuild their defensive line.
All right. So defensive line wise, there are a number of guys that are high rated recruits. Obviously we mentioned Christian Williams. There's a Keontae Shad. He's highly regarded.
I should probably
as well.
Talk about both of those guys, huh?
Well,
you asked me about both and I didn't even give
you
anything.
But I mean, with Christian Williams, he's a guy that was added in the last, I don't know, week or two. And Shad's someone that they seemingly hung on to here late as he started to take some, I don't know if they were official visits or not, but he started to take some of visits elsewhere, a guy out of the Madison area, you know, maybe where the Gophers won their last football game.
Maybe. The sources tell me that they even brought the axe to Madison when they were on their in-home visit with Keontae Shad.
Oh, that's cold.
Last Saturday, and I know that was very bittersweet. Or just very sweet for many Gopher fans. So Christian Williams, story goes, Minnesota had been recruiting him for a long time. They tried to get him on an official visit back in the summer. Things didn't work out. Then people got busy during the season. Christian Williams is a kid that really didn't take recruiting extremely seriously until after his season. So you look at his offer sheet, he's got a very spectacular offer sheet. LSU, Tennessee, Missouri, Indiana, off the top of my head there. So I know at least three of the four of them were absolutely committable when he decided to pull the trigger on Minnesota. But the question is, you know, why did he wait so long? Just a kid that didn't take recruiting very seriously until after the season. So Minnesota tried to get back in there. They were able to get him on an official visit on December the 1st. He was the only guy in that weekend. His grandparents, who he lives with, came with on the official visit. And then the drama began, where P.J. Fleck then goes and sees him as an in-home visit. I believe it's P.J. Fleck and Marcus West on December the 5th. And then Christian Williams starts to waver a bit. And he wasn't committed. And by wavering in terms of, is he going to sign in December or is he going to wait until February? Well, at one point in time last week, he's telling people, well, I think I'm just going to wait until February. I'm going to set up some more official visits. I'm going to go to Missouri the weekend of the 15th, so just this past weekend. Well, then P.J. Fleck and Marcus West, Minnesota's defensive line coach, deserve a lot of credit. They continue to be on him, saying, hey, you know, don't push it off. We really want you here. You visited. You know, you'd be a great player here. And then P.J. Fleck gets a call last Friday night as he's heading up to Georgia. He's on the phone with him, and he's like, Christian tells him, I want to be a Gopher. He's like, okay, great. Are you signing next on Wednesday? Yep. Okay, that's a big deal. Again, Christian, I think via the 24/7 scale, just my company itself, he would be the highest rated commit. I think we have him as a 91 or a 92, a kid who is a top 250 defensive tackle. He's already 6'3", 297 pounds. He's got a lot of quick explosiveness. So, again, another defensive tackle that you can bring into the stable. And then with Keontae Shad, Luke, you mentioned him. This is where I know some folks were angry that we kept Keontae on the commitment list when he took official visits to Central Florida, Mississippi State, Minnesota, and then he was supposed to take one to Oklahoma last weekend, but Minnesota was able to firm him up and say, you know, Keontae's like, all right, I'm not going to go to Oklahoma. Minnesota's really where I want to be. And so they went and saw him on Saturday. And again, Keontae Shad, someone that Oklahoma wanted badly, someone that Tennessee wanted badly, Mississippi State, Central Florida, a team that hasn't lost in, I don't know, 18 months now. And Keontae would have essentially had many offers that any really offer that he wanted. He's the number two junior college defensive tackle in the country. He's going to sign tomorrow. He's going to be here in January. And I expect him, Luke, to be contributing here this upcoming fall, especially with the way Minnesota rotated their defensive linemen.
All right. So just rounding out the defensive line, you've got I'm going to butcher this one. Devion Harris, who's a defensive end. MJ Anderson, another defensive end. You've got D'Angelo Carter. And let's see who else.
Let's start with the two St. Louis boys before I try to hear you butcher any more of these names.
That was it. I got all the defensive linemen.
All right. So Devion Harris and MJ Anderson.
Oh, that was even close. Boy, that my bad.
You're getting there. Devion Harris, someone that had a great offer list when he committed to Minnesota, had Missouri, Florida, Notre Dame was an offer at one point. Again, someone where you're looking at who do you want to be? Who is the pass rusher in this class? Well, essentially, Devion Harris is the only defensive end in this class right now. Someone that's 6'3", 230 pounds. Someone that Marcus West was able to go see live back in the spring. Thought he had a lot of quick twitch, a lot of explosiveness. And when you look at Minnesota potentially trying to move Carter Coughlin back to linebacker in 2019, well, who's going to be your pass rushers on the field on third down? That's where Minnesota is really hoping that Devion Harris can provide an instant impact. And then with MJ Anderson, I mean, welcome to college football recruiting, as I said earlier, in the year of our Lord 2018, where MJ Anderson decommits from Minnesota and then proceeds to take an in-home visit with Minnesota that very next night. Minnesota gets him up on an official visit, I believe, that following weekend, and he recommits to Minnesota. Again, just some things going on behind the scenes with MJ's family. That some people wanted him to look around a little bit. Minnesota was able to make sure that he didn't stray too far, got him up, I believe, that following weekend on an official visit, and they were able to get him done. Now, the question is going to be, is MJ Anderson a defensive end or is he going to be a defensive tackle? Now, if I was a betting man, of which I certainly am, I would imagine MJ Anderson eventually gets big enough. He's already 270, 275 pounds at 6'3". he's someone that is probably going to be a defensive tackle. Maybe he starts at that strong side defensive end, but as he continues to grow into his body, gets into a college strength and conditioning program, a college nutrition program, I fully expect MJ to be a defensive tackle. So I believe there's one more defensive lineman.
We missed D'Angelo Carter. And then I was going to actually ask you, Logan Richter is a guy that was a defensive tackle last year and is now an offensive guard on your list.
Yeah, I'll tackle that here in a second. The final one being D'Angelo Carter, defensive tackle-wise. Someone from Lee County, he just won a state championship with P.J. Fleck in attendance. Why is that a big deal? Because D'Angelo Carter in a Georgia state championship game was player of the game. I think he had 3.5 sacks, 3 tackles for loss, a forced fumble. I mean, he was a one-man wrecking crew, someone that we gave a bump to here on the 24/7. He went from, I believe, an 83, a low 3-star, to an 87, which is a high 3-star, and I think his film deservingly shows that. 6'1", 300 pounds, not the biggest of guys height-wise, but just another guy that can eat space, is very explosive, and very good with his hands. And when you look at this defensive line class as a whole, folks, you know, you're hearing about the stars, you're hearing about some of the stories here. Well, Minnesota just landed their number one, number two, and number three ranked defensive linemen in the last decade, and Rashad Chaney, Christian Williams, and Keontae Schott. Those three are three in this decade are the three highest rated defensive linemen to commit to Minnesota. That's a big deal. This defensive line class as a whole is the highest rated defensive line class in this decade. From 2010 to now this 2019 class, it's a big deal. So whether you want to look at stars or whether you want to look at offers, I know that this was something I looked at in terms of with this defensive line class. Now, if you don't want to listen to the stars and ratings, you think it's a bunch of hogwash, I think you should get your head out from under a pillow. But Minnesota's defensive line class as a whole had over 100 scholarship offers combined between them, and they had 55 Power 5 offers between them as well. That could have been more. I mean, Oregon tried to get in on D'Angelo Carter late. Minnesota had to battle to get MJ Anderson back. Minnesota beat out Oklahoma, among others, for Keontae Schott. They're able to beat numerous SEC teams for Christian Williams. And then we talked about Rashad Chaney, who'd been committed to Alabama as soon as Halloween, being able to get a defensive line class in what I think is the most difficult position to recruit in college football, because I think it's over-recruited to an extent. Because if you are a good to above-average defensive tackle or defensive end, you are going to be very, very heavily recruited because it's so hard to find good players at that position. Well, Minnesota just signed their highest rated defensive line class in this decade, so that's a big deal. And with, I don't think I touched on Logan Richter. So Logan Richter, Purim's own, a gray shirt from the 2018 class. You know, I've heard he's probably going to start on the offensive line now, of which that really doesn't make an impact either one way or another. I've heard that. Well, I've seen him at numerous Gopher games this fall. I think he's going to be ready to contribute here as soon as he's on campus in January. So he is going to sign tomorrow morning, but I anticipate him starting on the offensive side of the ball and not the defensive side of the ball.
All right. So maybe we'll talk about that more when we talk offensive line recruiting. I think as a whole, the things that you already pointed out, which were very astute, this is the highest rated defensive line class in greater than a decade. But I think almost more importantly, this is a position of need that we talked about kind of game in and game out, whether it was their inability to stop the run, their inability to generate a pass rush. They identified a need and seemed to fill a hole, much like they did with the offensive line the class before. So this has to give Gopher fans some hope, you know, provided this is a position of weakness. Looks like it, in short order, could become a position of strength in the not-too-distant future.
Well, it's a big – I have to really stop saying that. I already know I'm going to get tweets about that. Why it's important is where are things won or lost in the Big Ten more times than not? Offensive line, defensive line.
Right.
Well, you look at Minnesota in the last decade here. On the defensive line in 2018, they signed their second-best class in this decade on the defensive line, only to be outdone by this 2019 class. You look at the offensive line for this period, Minnesota this year is going to sign their second highest rated offensive line class in this decade, only to be outdone by the previous year. So your two best offense and defensive line rated years in this decade are in 2018 and now in this 2019 class, that's where you want to build, is on those offensive defensive line, because it's won or lost in the trenches. Where you look at Iowa, you look at Wisconsin, the amount of success they've had sustained consistently year after year, it's because they've been pretty dang good on the offensive and defensive line. And that's a very good sign here for Minnesota that they're able to sign as many guys as they did and as many high quality kind of guys as they did.
All right, let's talk a little bit of outside linebacker, mostly because they recruited two outside linebackers in James Gordon the IV and Donald Willis. One is a guy out of Florida, the other out of Ohio. Both seem to be, you know, fairly good sized linebackers, but again, both outside linebackers.
I mean, you can just think of them as linebackers for now. We'll see what they become. Maybe James Gordon ends up being the Thomas Barber replacement. He's going to have to battle with Mariano Sori-Marin for it. But both of these guys, again, we look at rankings. You look at these two. I mean, this is the second highest rated linebacker class in this decade, behind only the Carter Coughlin year. And if you take out the Carter Coughlin in that one, this would be the highest rated linebacker. Now, I'll address this now because I know I'm going to get questions about it via Twitter or via Gopher Illustrated. Some people think that these ratings are influenced by the number of subscribers I have or this site does on 247. I will remind you that all these numbers I'm reading off in terms of the highest rate in this decade is via the composite. So via 247, Rivals, and ESPN all combined together, and you kind of put them together and average them out. So while I know that my site, everybody's doing particularly well. Well, that's because I made sure that all of our talent evaluators, once their senior film got out of all these Gopher recruits, I made sure that their eyes got on it. And I was like, what do you think? I'm not going to tell you what he's rated. I'm not going to tell you what he's currently rated, but what do you think he should be? And that's how you see 10-plus members of this Gopher 2019 class get as many bumps as they did. Now, I think that Donald Willis and James Gordon absolutely deserve them. I mean, starting with James Gordon, I mean, Minnesota, it gets James Gordon from Plant City, Florida, on an official visit here over the summer. They're able to get him committed. He goes through his senior film. He's a one-man wrecking crew. And then it gets interesting where Miami and Florida State offer and then try their damnedest to get him on campus to flip him. But James said, thanks, but no thanks. I think I'm going to still row the boat up to Minnesota. Miami wanted him in the worst way. I know Florida State wanted him in the worst way. And to have a Florida kid turn down those two in-state schools to still come on up to Minnesota, that's a big recruiting win. That's a very big recruiting win. So you look at Minnesota having to replace Blake Cashman, Thomas Barber, Kamal Martin here, and potentially if you want to throw Carter Coughlin into that mix at linebacker here after 2019, adding a guy like James Gordon certainly helps that. And then Donald Willis, if you're going to watch one person's recruiting film or his senior highlights, watch Donald Willis. So all you have to do is type into your Google machine, Donald Willis Huddle, H-U-D-L. Find those senior highlights and watch. The kid is a heat-seeking missile. He's 6'2", 195 pounds. I believe he's going to grow into that once he gets into a college strength and conditioning program. But you have some long, athletic, hard-hitting linebackers in James Gordon and Donald Willis. Donald Willis had multiple Big Ten offers. I know from texting with his coach during the recruiting process here in the last few weeks, he essentially texts me every day. I had another Big Ten school come by trying to get in at Donald. I'm not going to tell you the school's name because it's not important because Donald's coming to Minnesota. I can't tell you how many of those texts or direct messages I have on my phone. So getting two quality linebackers is another big win.
All right, let's round out defense with defensive back. They have two commits in at defensive back, one being the highest rated that I basically can find, basically in the last 10 years, which is pretty impressive. And that would be, his name's Tyler Newbin. Did I pronounce that right? Is it Newbin?
I'm very happy you were able to pronounce Tyler Newbin's name correct. Let's see if you can't get the other commit's name right as well.
Oh, my. I'm less confident about this one.
This isn't even a hard name.
But
come on. Give it a shot.
Solomon Brown. No, it was very
Solomon
easy.
Brown.
I got 100%. That one as well. So these are two fairly highly rated guys. Newbin actually very highly rated. Again, I guess the only thing that maybe concerns me here is just the numbers, right? Sure. This is a position group that we have had some concerns about, particularly at safety. Both these guys look to be corners to me. Safety is still an area of concern that I have. But, you know, there, we saw some optimism with some young guys this season. But tell me about these two recruits.
Well, I guess we should mention the guys that aren't going to be signing tomorrow, because I know there's a lot of questions,
okay,
a lot of theories about why they're not coming. Minnesota had two commits here in the last month or so. One from Florida by the name of TJ Robinson, another one from a junior college by the name of Demarion Williams. So with TJ Robinson in Minnesota, it sounds like TJ is going to sign with Rutgers tomorrow, and that surprises me because I know that there's academic issues. Now, apparently some other people in the 247 network are trying to disprove me on that. I can assure you that with the conversations I've had daily since the season ended, like four times a day since the season ended with sources, and then just talking with Kyle Goblers, our 247,
can you say that?
Here.
Can you say that name again? Because I read
Kyle
that name.
Goblers.
Goblers.
I'm sure I butchered it, and he's going to yell at me.
Yeah.
But either
Kyle,
way,
tweet at Ryan if that was bad.
You should hit him up on Twitter at GobyMN. He put out a fantastic free piece for everyone here to listen or to read. A deep dive analytically on where this Gopher class stacks up. If you're going to read one piece, you know, I'd love for you to read mine about what you need to know for tomorrow. But this deep dive, I think, does a fantastic job of it. But TJ, my point being, TJ Robinson's name is something, is someone I had been talking with for months with sources about. He needs to get his academics up or else we're going to have to drop him. And so that's kind of what happened, whereas Minnesota had Jamal Adai, in his home. I think it was December the 6th. And they were like, TJ, I don't know that we're going to be able to sign you next Wednesday or 13 days from now because, well, flat out, your academics aren't in order. We thought they were going to get better, so I'm going to encourage you to look around. He goes and takes an official visit to Rutgers. That proceeding next weekend, Minnesota removes him from their board. I remove him from the 24/7 commitment list. And then Minnesota also had a commitment on that Twin Cities takeover weekend from a junior college kid by the name of Demarion Williams. I still think he's a tremendously talented player. It's unfortunate he's not going to be a part of this class anymore. Sounds like there were some things that happened over the weekend, this past weekend, that forced Minnesota to take him off the board. I'll remind folks that PJ Fleck has a zero tolerance policy for anything essentially off the field related, especially if you're a recruit, you are held to an even higher standard potentially than the current players, because they want to make sure that you're really adapting to the culture, that you're being a good, that you're serving and giving. And Demarion had an unfortunate incident off the field over the weekend, so Minnesota was forced to remove him from the board. But you get into Tyler Newbin. As far as I know and as far as the research I've done, he is the highest-rated defensive back in this decade to commit and then potentially sign tomorrow morning with the University of Minnesota. Just the kid who is a freak athlete. I mean, someone from St. Charles North in Illinois led his team to a state tournament appearance the first time for St. Charles North, and he was a huge part of it. Played a lot of receiver for them, played a lot of cornerback for them. It's 6'2", 6'3", 195 pounds. And the kid's just a freak athlete. Just someone that I think is going to be an immediate impact player here at Minnesota. Now, he's not going to be here until June, but just with those big, that big body that he has, I think he can potentially make an impact at safety. I think he can potentially make an impact at corner. I don't know what he's going to be after fall camp, but all I know is if you're adding a big, athletic, long body that can break on the ball and hit the way he does, you're going to be playing with house money. And then Solomon Brown is someone that Minnesota had to try and hang on to, of which they did, over the University of Iowa. Iowa's, I believe, defensive coordinator's name is Phil Parker. And Phil Parker, from what I've heard from sources around the network, was absolutely infatuated with Solomon Brown. They were able to get an in-home visit with him, actually, the first week of the evaluation period here. And then Minnesota was like, wait a minute, I thought you were committed to us. And he was like, oh, yeah, I'm just playing. I'm coming there. So Iowa tried their best to flip Solomon Brown. They weren't able to do so. A 5'10" corner from Largo, Florida. He's going to sign on Wednesday, and he will be here in January. I'll also say, Luke, before we move on to a different position, as we sit here tonight, the latest I've heard is I think Minnesota inks another defensive back tomorrow morning. Someone that I've talked about on Gopher Illustrated. If you don't know the name and you are a Gopher Illustrated member, just head on over there. I would imagine his name's not being floated anywhere else as an SEC school believes that he is going to sign with them tomorrow. But we'll see who's right, whether it's from what I've been told from the kid or if this kid actually does go to an SEC school. But I do imagine they will add another defensive back. And for that name, we'll have to see if he signs tomorrow morning.
All right, so let's move on to the offensive side of the ball. I'm very excited to talk about special teams, but we always save the best for last. So I'm gonna talk special teams then, and I know nothing about the kids, so you're gonna talk special teams, and I'm gonna ask really probing questions. But when we get to offensive line, for instance, this is a position group that it looks like they're adding three new bodies. A position group they recruited very, very heavily last year. We saw Daniel Fa'alele make a big impact, and I did mean to put in a pun there with the big. But so looking at this offensive line class, it seems fairly highly rated again, much like last year. I have no idea on some of these names. JJ,
I'll just take them.
Yes,
JJ G'day.
G'day? That's G'day? Man, I would have never guessed that.
Well, the story is I went up to his parents at a Chicago camp I was at. I was like, Mr. and Mrs. Gadet, and they looked at me and they said, it's G'day, not Gadet. If you say that again, we're going to smack you. his parents are tremendous, tremendous people. They've been very good to me here throughout the recruiting process here. So you have JJ G'day from Illinois. You're also going to be adding potentially Logan Richter there in January from Perham. And then you're also going to be adding a preferred walk-on slash maroon shirt and Tyler Cooper from St. Croix Falls.
Okay.
So JJ and Logan, for example, are going to sign on Wednesday, and they will be enrolling in January. Now, JJ is someone that Minnesota started recruiting over a year ago now. They had him up for a couple of game day visits, and then they offered him, I believe, in late December, early January. Someone at the time when they had him committed, probably about 250 pounds at 6'7". I mean, he's a very lean individual. So then when I saw him in person for the first time at a Chicago Nike camp, he was up to 270. And as we sit here today, I know his father likes to send pictures of JJ on the scale. He's over 300 pounds now. So he has added in a very short amount of time about 50, 60 pounds. Now, I expect that weight number to kind of remain the same as his body composition continues to change. So maybe that's not all good weight. So they're going to be able to, once they get him on campus here, get him an extra 5 months before the rest of the 2019 class gets here. They're able to get him in a strength and conditioning program, a nutrition program, as they continue to reshape his body. But JJ G'day could have essentially went anywhere he wanted in the Big Ten. Someone that, after he committed to Minnesota, picked up offers from, I'm trying to think of them off the top of my head, Missouri, Nebraska. I know Notre Dame said, if you visited, we would probably offer you. He said, thanks, but no thanks. And I think there were a couple more Big Ten teams other than what he had. So again, we have him rated highly because I know Alan True thinks his ceiling is very high, someone that his best playing days are ahead of him. So again, JJ, whether you want to look at the stars or whether you want to look at the offers, he's going to be a quality piece to add here. We already touched on Logan Richter some, a gray shirt kind of opportunity where he had to get some things in order academically because he has not signed any sort of piece of paper. He did not sign at the 2018 signing period. So he's going to sign for the first time tomorrow morning. And then finally, I think I got to explain this whole maroon shirt thing. As I know, I've gotten a lot of questions about it on Twitter, Gopher Illustrated. So maroon shirts are essentially a verbal agreement that if you walk on for 1 year, one full calendar year, Minnesota can then or verbally says, we will put you then on scholarship for your remaining 4 years. Now, think of Tyler Cooper as a preferred walk-on or a Zach Anixter type of situation where Zach Anixter is going to be on scholarship here in January. So Zach signs as a preferred walk-on. He gets here in January, ends up competing, starting six games for Minnesota, now Minnesota can put him on scholarship, and that the key is it doesn't count against your class of 25. And so the max amount that you can sign in any given period would be 25. It is a hard cap at 25. You know, from previous years before this rule of a hard cap of 25, which was instituted last year, you know, SEC schools would sign 28 to 31 guys. And then it would be come May when they're getting ready to enroll, they would drop 4, 5, 6 of them. Well, the NCAA thought it was BS, which it is. So you have a hard cap at 25. So how does that kind of work into it? Well, again, like I tried to explain, this maroon shirt thing, the kid would potentially get a scholarship. Again, it's just verbally we say we're going to give you a scholarship then for your remainder 4 years, but it doesn't count against the 25 for that upcoming recruiting class. It just counts against the 85 total scholarships. Yes, I know that's confusing. It was immensely, immensely
It's not confusing. I don't think it's confusing because at the end of the day, it's just it's a clearer rule, right? You still have 85. You still have 85 scholarships. That's the number that you can give, right? Everybody knows that there's attrition as you go on year to year, whether that's high school football or college football, right? You're never going to have as many seniors. So at the end of the day, when you can give out scholarships. To me, it makes a ton of sense. The rules are very clear and you just got to abide within them. And there's no more kind of making up your own rules to benefit yourself because you're a SEC or some sort of helmet school that just has that luxury.
So when you look at Minnesota signing class tomorrow, it's going to be somewhere between 23 and 24 guys, but know that Peter Udoybach and Tyler Cooper are technically preferred walk-ons, so they don't count as scholarship guys. But I know with Tyler Cooper, a kid from St. Croix Falls, someone that Minnesota had at camp, I know that Brian Callahan is absolutely infatuated with him. I know that there's some on this recruiting staff that have been here for the better part of a decade that have told me that they thought Tyler Cooper's camp performance was the best they've seen from a Minnesota, quote-unquote Minnesota offensive lineman since Frank Ragnow. Now, Frank Ragnow was a first-round draft pick out of Chanhassen of the Detroit Lions. I'm not saying Tyler Cooper is going to go on to be a first-round draft pick. I'm just telling you that Brian Callahan, who has put numerous offensive linemen into the league, absolutely loves Tyler Cooper. I know that there's some on this recruiting staff that think he is going to be an absolute mauler on the offensive line in the interior. And they think he's going to contribute here down the line once Minnesota has some guys graduate there. So don't sleep on Tyler Cooper is all I'm saying.
That's fair. I can totally buy that. All right, let's talk a little bit about receiver. This is obviously, you know, PJ Fleck specialty. They brought in arguably one of the best recruiting classes in terms of receivers last year. Some of those guys were injured, but in my opinion, probably some of the best talent that we've seen. So we can trust their evaluation and bringing in receivers. I'm not even going to try on this name. You go ahead with this. I don't even have the slightest clue.
All right. So this is the one I'm excited to hear Sid Hartman try to pronounce.
It's not even fair.
He's a kid from Texas by the name of Namdi Adeem Madumare. Two N's to start Namdi Adeem Madumare. Arguably the biggest recruiting win in this cycle. I mean, there could be a few different ones I could point to. But Namdi is someone from, as I said, Southwest Texas, a 6'4", 6'3", 225-pound kid. His stats from his senior season don't look great. He's got like 20 catches, 7 of them went for touchdowns. And I was like, because I know his head coach very well, I went, what happened? He goes, Ryan, he had 11 touchdowns called back by penalty, and 8 of those were 60-plus yards. And I was like, okay, never mind. Everything's good. So Namdi is just – I think he is going to contribute much sooner rather than later. He just has such a unique skill set where Alabama tried to flip Namdi all the way up until tonight. Per his high school coach anyway, they never let up pressure. They were someone that Alabama wanted badly because Namdi has such a unique skill set where he has the body type of a tight end, but he has the speed of a wide receiver. I mean, watching him pull away from numerous guys on his junior senior highlight tape. I know that Minnesota also had Nambi at a satellite camp down in Oklahoma. Absolutely infatuated with them. I know PJ Fleck and Matt Simon were huge, huge, huge proponents of what Nambi was able to do. And I think tight ends coach Clay Patterson deserves a lot of credit here, is he made the inroads there where Nambi was being recruited. The final four schools before Nambi committed were Baylor, Texas A&M, and Alabama. And Minnesota's able to get a kid up here on an unofficial visit for the spring game. They're able to get him to come to a satellite camp. They're able to get him to come back on his own dime in the summer again. And then they're able to hang on to him. And I know a little flash from the past here, but one of the guys that had been recruiting Nambi and had been relentless is get your chili hot, Tim Brewster. Once Tim Brewster went from Texas A&M to North Carolina, he was like, you know, we really need to get Nam here. We really need to get Nam here. To the point where I've even heard that Mr. Goble potentially has blocked Tim Brewster's number. So everybody who's been blocked by Brew on Twitter, well, Brew is a little bit relentless in his recruiting, and that didn't fly well with a potential Fort Worth coach. But Nnamdi, again, such a big body, a unique skill set, and especially with the way that Minnesota struggled at times blocking on the perimeter, Nnamdi is someone that I think he'd come in and help right away. And then the other guy that would be the PJ Fleck live evaluation kid is a kid who is actually John Legend's nephew.
What?
John Legend, the famous R&B artist. The recruit's name is Michael Brown Stevens from Springfield, Ohio, someone that Minnesota was able to see at an Ohio satellite camp. They offered him shortly after that, and they were able to get him committed. 5'11", 180 pounds. I believe 100-plus Nike Spark score. He's very athletic, someone that Minnesota thinks they can use on the outside, on the inside. But if you're going to trust PJ Fleck live evals, this is where you're going to want to do it.
Can you imagine the homecoming concert? Like,
I would definitely go out and say at some point in the next 4 years, John Legend is A, going to do a concert here, or he is going to do the national anthem multiple times.
Well, my wife is totally going to be in, like, the Gopher football, like, significantly more.
Yeah, anytime John Legend's involved. I mean, Michael Brown Stevens for Thanksgiving went out and hung out with his uncle John Legend out in New York City for the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, amongst other things. So, I mean, it's a cool little connection there, and then I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Creighton Durham Hall's own Peter Udaboy.
Right, who actually happened to be the MVP of the state All-Star game.
He did. He had a Randy Moss type line. Mr. Udabach had two catches, 128 yards, two touchdowns. If that doesn't remind you of a Randy Moss type of performance, I don't know what will. Another maroon shirt. So what does that mean? That means that Peter is technically a preferred walk-on, and they've told him after a year in the program, we're going to put you on scholarship for those final 4 years. Peter, someone that Minnesota had at camp, they became very infatuated with him, extended him a maroon shirt offer over the summer, and then he accepted it. Someone that Minnesota thinks has a lot of talent. I know that there's some in the program that think if Peter develops into that upper 20% of what you think, he could potentially be a Tyler Johnson type of guy. So Mr. Udabach adding into the other two scholarship guys, to be able to get two scholarship guys like Nnamdi Adeyemadumera, Michael Brown Stevens, and Peter Udabach as your preferred walk-on guy, I think you're continue to add talent to what I already think is a pretty talented stable of wide receivers.
I think I've learned two things. Number one, Nnamdi Adeyemadumera looks hard on paper, but you make it sound really easy.
I've had some practice. I've talked to the coach multiple times about it, but
he also might end up being just a one name kind of guy, like just Nnamdi.
They just call him Nam. Okay. So if that's easy, we can just call him Nam.
We can just call him Nam. Number two, I guess this is more of a question than a comment. Is the maroon shirt something that Minnesota coined, or is this becoming like a college football term?
This is something that Minnesota coined for a new rule that was passed here in June.
Got it.
So Minnesota calls it a maroon shirt because they own the maroon and gold.
Yep.
I haven't really heard of any other programs taking advantage of that yet. This kind of loophole where if someone walks on for a year and then you put them on scholarship, well, they don't count against the 25. They just count against the 85. So it's a new rule as of June.
All right. Running back athletes, you know, whatever you want to call some of these guys. Jason Williamson's a guy that stands out. I see a guy named Cameron Wiley. I'm probably missing some other running back.
Well, this is where it gets to be. I mean, are they running backs? What are they down the line?
Because, yeah, right.
Because you got Mr. Football, Jason Williamson, who all he does is run for 3,000 plus yards, 45 plus touchdowns, and Rivals still only puts him as a 5.3 star and then barely bumps him up to 3-star status, which, yeah, Mr. Josh Hemholt, I don't really know what you're doing, but that's here nor there. So you have Jason Williamson, Owatonizon, Mr. Football, all he does, as I mentioned, 3,000 plus rushing yards, back-to-back state championships. I know there's some on the Gopher staff that think he's the best skilled position player we've seen since Tyler Johnson come out of this state. Now the question is going to be, what the heck is Jason Williamson? Because he's 6'2", 210 pounds. Is he a running back? Is he a receiver? Is he a safety? Is he a linebacker? What I can tell you is Jason Williamson is going to start at running back in spring ball, and they are going to figure it out from there. Because I know Kirk Shiraka and some others on the staff are very infatuated with his speed and vision as a running back. And ultimately, the amount of success he's had there, it's kind of hard to say, well, maybe you are a receiver, a linebacker, a safety, but you've had a lot of success with that running back position. So as of tonight, Jason is going to start at running back, and we'll see what he ends up developing into as, once again, he gets into a strength and conditioning program, a nutritional program. What does he end up being? Jason Williamson, all I know is you're a very talented young man that has very good size at 6'2", 210 pounds. And so he's going to start at the running back position. Now, maybe the most athletic guy in this class is Cameron Wiley. I know that I am absolutely infatuated with the ceiling on this kid, because you just don't find guys that are 6'2", 195 pounds, but he had one of the top Nike Spark scores in the country. I think he had like 118 Nike Spark score. So when he tested out in Vegas at a Nike camp, electronic times on all these different things, he ran a 4.56 40. Is a 17-year-old at 6'2", 195 pounds, with a 39.5-inch vertical. I have no idea what Cameron Wiley is besides a very, very explosive athlete. Now, once again, he's going to start at running back, someone that both him – I mean, it's kind of funny to kind of be able to think about fall camp down the line, and you're going to have Cameron Wiley and Jason Williamson at 6'2", next to Mohammed Ibrahim at 5'8". It's going to look a little different back there, difference of 6 inches there. But another very tremendous athlete that Minnesota is going to add into their stable. I can assure you, you're not going to be able to miss what Cameron Wiley is going to look like when you attend a fall camp practice. I've even heard from some very good sources out there in the Vegas area that there was a team that is in the college football playoff that tried to get in on Cameron here in the last few weeks and flip him. And Mr. Wiley said, thanks, but no thanks. I'm going to row the boat up to Minnesota. So the final one would be Trayson Potts.
Yeah, hold on. Can we pause right here? What is APB?
All-purpose back.
Oh, okay. All-purpose back. Got it.
Mm-hmm. So Trayson Potts is a kid that is going to be on campus here in January. If he would have stayed healthy throughout his entire senior season, I think he would have ended up at Penn State. A kid from Pennsylvania. The question marks are, he tore his ACL as a sophomore, and then midway through his senior – no, he tore his ACL prior to his junior year, like a couple weeks before. So I believe he missed his entire junior season. And then we came to the senior year. He was having a heck of a senior year, 5-6 games in, and then he proceeds to tear his ACL on the other knee. Now, he had surgery months ago. He's going to be here for spring ball. I expect him to be limited, along with Rodney Smith and Shannon Brooks, all of them coming off ACL injuries. All of them are, I'm going to imagine, going to be limited in practice as they all rehab back, hopefully get ready for fall camp. But if Trayson Potts can stay healthy consistently for a season more, or just a full season, I mean, this is a kid at 5'10", 180 pounds that I think can be a very explosive player for Minnesota. When Minnesota got him committed, he had Maryland and Rutgers offers. Again, I think if he stays 100% healthy with that senior film he would have put out over a 12, 13, 14 game sample, I think Penn State is where he ultimately ends up. But he ends up tearing his ACL for the second time in Minnesota. Minnesota's going to get him signed tomorrow and then get him in January.
All right, so probably what most people want to hear us talk about, and by us, I mean you, quarterback. They've got a kid named Jacob Clark. He's a pro-style quarterback out of Texas. And then Cole Kramer, he's a kid out of Eden Prairie. He is definitely noted as a dual threat, but I was really impressed with his arm capabilities, at least watching him in high school. I think you've talked about it. He's someone that a lot of people are sleeping on. He could turn into quite a good college football player. Curious to get your thoughts on both of these. Both these guys, by the way, are actually fairly highly recruited relative to the recent past when it comes to rankings. I think Clark is an 88.16 and Kramer an 84.52, both of which would be very impressive gets in the last decade.
Before I get into my Cole Kramer fandom, I will say that Jacob Clark, when he inks tomorrow morning, is going to be the highest-rated high school kid to sign with Minnesota since the tossing Tongan. That is Moses Alapate, the former Under Armour All-American from Bloomington Jefferson. And both Cole Kramer and Jacob Clark are going to be here in January as well to compete for that starting quarterback position that, as of today, I think is still very, very much wide open for the 2019 spring ball / fall camp season. Now, Jacob Clark, someone I think should be a four-star kid on 24/7. I'm still kind of working on that. I've got all the way up until February to get that done. But someone that had a very, very good senior season down at Rockwall, Texas, 30 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, double-digit rushing touchdowns, 6'5", 210 pounds. He's not the most nimble guy in the world with his feet, but he absolutely knows how to diagnose a defense and knows how to make the right throw. Someone that I expect to compete immediately once he gets onto campus. I think by the end of spring ball, you're going to see Jacob Clark really be pushing both Zach Anakstead and Tanner Morgan for that starting quarterback position. He's got all the physical tools that you would want in a quarterback at 6'5", 210. He runs the right offense that you would want him coming into. He was running a spread offense down at Rockwall down there, something similar to what Kirk Shiraka runs up here at Minnesota. Plus, he's going to be here in January. Now, if I can't interest you in all that, he also had offers from places like Texas Christian, so a.k.a. TCU. He had Iowa, California. Mike Bobo out of Colorado State had extended an offer. Vanderbilt had extended an offer. So if I can't interest you in his high ranking, I can't interest you in his offers that he had committed at the time. I would just encourage you to come on out and see him in January or see him in March and April when Minnesota's going through spring ball. And then with Cole Kramer, it's just a weird hill that I'm like being forced to die on, but there are just some people in this Minneapolis media that think Cole Kramer is going to be a safety. There's people on Gopher Illustrated that think Cole Kramer is going to be a safety. And Minnesota thinks that's kind of the funniest thing in the world because Cole Kramer is going to be a quarterback. Now, Cole Kramer has the athletic talent to play safety. He's never played it before in his life, but he is much faster than Jacob Clark. I think that Cole Kramer, when Cole Kramer gets on campus, the Eden Prairie quarterback who's won back to back state titles, for Eden Prairie now, he's going to be the fastest straight line kid of the quarterback group there. I mean, Anakstead and Tanner Morgan aren't exactly the most nimble of foot. Neither is Jacob Clark, so that's not maybe saying a lot. But I'm just going to say this. Now, I understand that Cole Kramer is coming from a 19-12 offense in Eden Prairie, of which for the first time in, I think, school history under Mike Grant, they threw more than they passed when Cole was essentially their only Division I scholarship athlete on the entire team. But I think don't sleep on Cole Kramer. At worst, folks, he is going to be the best scout team quarterback for the next 4 years that Minnesota's had in quite some time. But I think Cole has the arm strength to be the quarterback. I've seen him make the throws. I just don't think you should sleep on Cole Kramer. for those of you who are like, well, Minnesota was the only offer. Well, yeah. Minnesota offered him the day after signing day, and they were like, hey, you want to commit? And he's like, yep. I also have seen that the text from Tim Polasek at Iowa that if he would have visited Iowa back in the spring, they would have offered him. So if you're not impressed by any of that, we'll see what happens with Cole Kramer, but I can assure you I'm probably higher on him than you are.
All right, the moment everybody's been waiting for, special teams, having a scholarship. I believe these are both scholarship guys, but scholarship long snapper and scholarship kicker, definitely something I'm intrigued to hear more about. I know there is some kicker drama towards the end here. Interested to hear that story. And then maybe start off by talking about Brady Weeks, the long snapper, a 6'1", 225, incredible athlete, I'm sure.
Yeah. I'm not going to get too deep. I'm not going to pretend I'm going to lead special teams.
I mean, he can spin it, though, right? He can spin it.
Brady Weeks is actually Minnesota's long snapper commit, is an Under Armour All-American. So if you're going to watch that game and you want to watch some quality snaps, he is going to be that for the Under Armour team. Look, all I know is he was the number one rated long snapper by Cole's Kicking, which is essentially the go-to recruiting special teams website. Now, with Peyton Jordahl, you're going to have to replace his 50, 51 snaps. And so Brady is expected to come in and be your long snapper for the next 4 years. And the best thing that could happen is you forget Brady Weeks is on the team. And why do I say that? Because then you don't – the only time you'll remember Brady Weeks is – probably if he has a bad snap. Now, I can't remember off the top of my head too many bad snaps, if any, for Peyton Jordahl. So let's hope that remains the case with Brady Weeks. And then the kicker drama that has unfolded here in the last 10 days or so with Michael Lance and Camden Lewis. So the story goes, communication is key with this PJ Fleck recruiting staff. Minnesota had Camden Lewis on an official visit December the 8th, 10 days ago. Minnesota was in home with him that preceding week. And then they got word that he was on a plane to visit the University of Oregon on an official visit. They didn't take too kindly to the fact that they had him on campus. They didn't talk anything about it. They were in their home eating dinner with them and never mentioned it to a Gopher coach. And then they bet on themselves and went out to Oregon. Minnesota didn't take too kindly to that. And they removed Mr. Camden Lewis from the board. And they were able to get back on their number one target, kicking target, from back in January in Michael Lance. The first kicker that Minnesota pursued in their 2019 recruiting class was the kid that they now have committed in Michael Lance, someone that they offered back in January on an unofficial visit. They had him up in May on an unofficial visit. And at the time, Michael Lance just wasn't ready to pull the trigger. Well, Minnesota wanted a kicker. They were able to go out and get Camden Lewis. Camden is committed from June until midway through December. So they call up Michael Lance and they were like, hey, we now you're kicker offers back on the table. What do you think? He's like, give me the night to think about it. I'll have an answer in the morning. Well, morning comes. Yeah, coach, I'm in. I want to row the boat. So works out the best for both worlds. Camden Lewis is now going to go kick at the University of Oregon on scholarship. Minnesota gets their number one target from back all the way in January as a kicker. So you're trying to replace Emmett Carpenter. Well, we'll have to see how Michael Lance competes with Grant Rearsay and John Mack. But I would imagine that the proverbial favorite as of right now for that kicking job is going to be that in the Minnesota scholarship kicker in Michael Lance.
All right, let's just talk about this, you know, this class as a whole. Like you said, Kyle from 247, your, you know, compadre there. I'm not even going to try to butcher his name. Yeah, put together an incredible article. If you haven't checked that out, make sure you do. But he does a very good job of kind of outlining where by position group, and even, you know, as a roll up in the aggregate for the team and for the different sides of the football, where this class stacks up historically at Minnesota. You know, this is arguably probably one of the best recruiting classes, probably arguably maybe even the best. I don't know if this has changed yet because recruiting is a fluid situation, but this is going to be the 33rd ranked recruiting class in the country. The Gophers have never done better than 38, which they were last year. And this is eighth in the Big Ten.
Done better. And I think they had like a couple of Tim Brewster years that
finished. I'm saying in the last decade. So
okay.
Brewster, fair. I mean, you can go ahead and say like Brewster did well with recruiting rankings, but it didn't really turn into anything other than, you know, a couple of bowl games, which to that credit, that's not easy to do, right? But I, if I remember correctly, I don't think he won a single trophy game, right?
Sounds right.
Yeah, I don't know.
My mind is essentially fried at this stage of the night.
Yeah, I get that. So, you've probably charged your phone three times, right? So, I mean, looking at this, you know, 33rd ranked recruiting class nationally, 8th in the Big Ten. The Big Ten's very, very competitive when it comes to overall recruiting rankings, much like many of the Power 5 conferences. So I'm not terribly concerned about being ranked 8th in the Big Ten. Would I like it to be higher? Yeah, absolutely. But that's something that I think PJ and company are laying the groundwork for. They need to get some statistics and some a relative sample size behind that that shows that they can win, because that also brings recruits as well.
It does. And so if you're going to take anyway, you know, you haven't listened to anything we've said, you've just skipped forward toward the end here. What you need to know is that this recruiting class is pretty dang good, especially for Minnesota standards. Now, I know there's some people out here, well, you know, Fleck promised top 25 recruiting classes. Where are they? Folks, he's won 11 games the last 2 years, and he's at the time when this 2018 early signing period came by last year, it was the number 27 class in the country. And as we sit here tonight, it's the number 33 class in the country. So you've won 11 games, and you have back-to-back top 35, top 40 classes. I mean, what – I would, you know, it's something I'm going to look into here in the offseason, but even looking at the top 25 recruiting classes today, I believe there's only two of them that didn't have more than 7 wins. So how do you want to finish higher in the recruiting rankings? Well, win games, and these kids outside of your 300-mile region where you're going to need to recruit in Texas, Georgia, Oklahoma, Florida, Tennessee – you want them to notice you, especially those ones who have all the blue blood offers. Well, win some games. And so that's where Minnesota, if they're going to get an even better recruiting class, because what you want to do each and every year, and PJ Fleck, I'm sure, will say it tomorrow at his press conference, is you want to out-recruit what you just signed. Now, I think Minnesota's done a pretty good job of out-recruiting or maintaining that level, which is better than the rest of the decade here in terms of recruiting rankings. So whether you want to look at recruiting rankings, whether you want to look at offers, this Minnesota 2019 recruiting class has addressed some major holes. I think on the offense, at the defensive line position, they still need to get some things hatched down in the secondary there. But they're adding quality pieces that many other Power 5 schools coveted. They were ranked highly as such. And this is a recruiting class that is number 33 in the country right now. And you mentioned 8th in the Big Ten. I mean, think about that. I mean, there's between 25 and 35, I think there's 6 different Big Ten teams right now. So we'll see how that continues to fluctuate, as Minnesota could potentially add another one or two guys here in February for that signing day. We'll see how it plays out. I know folks want to know, like, what's going on with Damarian Houston, what's going on with some other guys who could potentially Minnesota add there. I just think it's a moot point to talk about, because these kids that I'm just mentioned aren't signing tomorrow. They're going to sign in February. So the kids don't really know who's going to be recruiting them. Minnesota doesn't know who's going to be recruiting them, because 80-85% of these recruits, of the total amount of recruits across the country, are likely going to sign tomorrow. So then you have that remaining 15% that is likely going to be much over recruited for those final teams that are looking to fill spots. And I know it's been reiterated to me over and over and over again here in the last few weeks that Minnesota is not, quote, going to take a guy to take a guy. So you have 21 scholarship guys right now. We'll see if it's 22 tomorrow. But you're still adding 20-plus quality scholarship bodies that this Minnesota offense certainly needs.
Yeah, I think one point that we should probably reiterate again is being able to build a successful program. As much as you want to say, like, stars don't matter, the data basically says otherwise, that stars do matter.
I don't think Oklahoma and Alabama and Clemson are finding the under-the-radar two stars, folks.
Yeah.
These are the guys that you're going to look up at the recruiting rankings tomorrow. they're all going to have top five, top 10 recruiting classes.
Well, and the thing is it's not just like having quality recruiting classes. Like you don't want just one season of that, right? You want sustained, continuous good recruiting, which this is by far back to back years, the best recruiting the Gophers have had in a decade. And you hope that you can continue that momentum, translate that to wins, and then improve that ranking as it goes forward.
Correct.
And that's the thing that you got to be banking your hope on going forward as this tenure with PJ Fleck continues on, which I think we should talk about. We haven't talked about it yet. I think PJ Fleck getting an extension makes a ton of sense. I think this is continuing in college, major college sports, going to be continuing to be a trend where whether it's basketball, football, or hockey, the coaches are going to get extended through a period just for the sake of recruiting.
Yeah, it's an on-paper extension, so people who are getting their panties in a wad. But PJ Fleck won 11 games. Why is he getting an extension? Because if you don't show confidence in your head coach, it's going to hurt you on the recruiting trail. So that extension puts PJ back at 5 years, saying, quote unquote, I will be here all 5 years that you're here, including your redshirt year. And if you don't think that matters, I can assure you that was the first thing that Christian Williams said to me, is he and Fleck were talking about that extension. Christian didn't know about it. He was like, well, you are going to be there all 5 years. I want to commit. So if you don't think it matters, there's your prime example right there.
Yeah, and it matters, and it's going to continue to be a thing that you see more and more across the country. Salaries are ridiculous in major college athletics the way they are, but this is just some assurance from a recruiting standpoint, et cetera. Any parting thoughts when it comes to recruiting just in general?
Whether you want to look at stars, whether you want to look at total offers, this 2019 class continued on the right trajectory. Now, if you're listening to this on the way to the National Signing Day social, you'll get to hear PJ Fleck talk in general terms about each one of these recruits. But it's a recruiting class that continues Minnesota on that upward trajectory in recruiting. And if you continuously are having these top 35, top 30, top 40 classes year after year after year after year, that's how you can sustain winning 7-8 games every year. Within, you're hoping that you can get the double digits down the line. Now, what does that mean? It means in 2019, Minnesota should win 8 games. That's what my expectation is. And it's going to be pretty hard to get me off that expectation. So upward trajectory in recruiting means you should be winning more games. And that is the absolute expectation for Minnesota as they continue forward.
All right. Well, I want to thank everyone for listening. Per usual, if you enjoy the podcast, obviously rate and subscribe, maybe tell a friend about it, tell them how much you enjoy it. We would appreciate that greatly. So for Ryan, for myself, if you're at the Signing Day social, come say hi. We'll be there. So for both of us, thank you for listening, and go Gophers.